Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our first guest, as we do each Friday at this time, Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Hello, Bill.
Hello there, Jack.
Well, Saul Anousis in the news. Yes. Is he going to be the Republican National Committee chairman?
Well, he's the first one to throw his hat in the ring. I don't know that that guarantees him the chairmanship by any means. He did run, as you may remember,
right,
2 years ago, and actually he showed quite well. He did pretty well. I can't remember. I think he came in about third.
Yes.
You know, he had a lot to recommend him, and I talked to a lot of his supporters afterwards, and they said, if we realized what we were up against in this thing, well, they actually said they didn't feel they were up against that much, but they didn't realize it,
right,
and they would have done a few things more aggressively, and they think that, you know, he could have won then. Obviously, Michael Steele, the chairman, has been controversial. He's made a number of inept remarks, and there's some questions about financing, and I tend to think he's on his way out one way or another. I don't know whether he's even going to try to run again, but the real issue is, does that mean that, you know, by default, Saul is going to be the new chairman? I don't think so. I think you're probably going to see a bunch of other candidates from other states and areas, and we'll see what happens.
You think you have Republicans' remorse here that they picked Michael Steele at this point?
I don't really think they have remorse. I mean, let's face it, I don't think people went and voted on November 2nd based on who's the Republican national chairman or the Democratic national chairman. I mean, nobody even really knows who these people are.
I just never hear anyone say a good word about the guy.
I know. It's really bad. Well, at one point, he looked like he had a really good up-and-coming reputation in the state of Maryland. He was a lieutenant governor. He ran for the U.S. Senate. He was thought to have a shot at that about 4 years ago, I think it was. Maybe it was 2 years ago. It was very recent. He lost to Ben Cardin, the Democrat. It was a bad year for Republicans in Maryland. It's a very Democratic state. And so I think people thought, you know, we've got an African-American Democratic president, let's have an African-American Republican national chairman. But I just don't think he just hasn't satisfied people. I got to tell you, Jack, I don't think the Republicans have had a good national chairman since Haley Barbour in the mid-1990s. He was chairman for 4 years from about 93 to 97, and he was brilliant. He was great.
Yeah.
But since him, they've had a bunch of stumble bumps.
Well, what kind of a job did Saul Anousis do with the Republican Party in Michigan?
He didn't do a very good job in terms of winning elections. That was one of the knocks against him 2 years ago, that he, you know, had gone through two cycles, 06 and 08, and the Republicans had their clocks cleaned.
Right.
But on the other hand, I don't think anybody could have been, you know, a successful Republican chairman,
right,
in 06 or 08. Those were just as bad Republican years almost as this year was a bad Democratic year. I mean, it wouldn't have made any difference. Nevertheless, I'm not sure I've heard that, you know, Saul was necessarily the greatest chairman we've ever had.
Right. We've talked about Rick Snyder's administration, the transition team, and now some key positions. And now we're hearing that William Rustem, President and CEO of Public Sector Consultants, a Lansing-based think tank, and a former Milliken administration official back in the, I guess, 70s and 80s,
right,
going to be the new director of strategy. What does that mean?
Well, we don't really know what director of strategy means. it's like the strategic vision, or they use this term vision in there. It sounds pretty fancy.
Whatever strategy he had in the election, he ought to keep.
Exactly. Let's put it this way. I think what this appointment does more than anything else, it sends still another signal out there,
yeah,
that this, you know, new governor is a Milliken-style Republican, which may send shivers down the spines of a lot of conservatives who think that Milliken was too moderate and has sounded even more moderate since he left the governorship than he was when he was governor.
Right.
But also, Bill Rustam is the head of a very prominent Lansing area think tank, Public Sector Consultants, that he and Craig Ruff have run for 30 years. And they've built it up with some really top flight minds and policy promulgators, people like Ken Sickema, the former Senate Republican majority leader, is aboard, and Peter Pratt and Jeff Williams. And they've got some really great talent. And Bill is the, the owner, actually, I guess, and the chairman and CEO at this point. And he was a Milliken front office guy, very conversant, particularly on environmental issues. That's his real background.
Mm-hmm.
And I think depending on what this position is, because it's a position we haven't really ever seen defined in precisely those terms with other governors that I can recall in the past several decades, it could be very promising.
Sounds like an assistant football coach or something, director of strategies. I wanted to ask you, Bill, about
the guru or something.
I wanted to ask you about Debbie Stabenow, now in position to head the Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee. That can't be a bad thing for Michigan, can it?
No, that's good. I mean, if we can get one of our senators beside Carl Levin to be, a chairman of a committee, that's good. I don't know whether that's going to help Debbie Stabenow with farmers in Michigan or the rural areas where, the Democrats really did take a pounding
mm-hmm.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that will buttress her a little bit in 2012, but, there's some other areas where I can think being a chairman, if you're Debbie Stabenow, might have helped her more with voters in 2012,
yeah.
But that's where she's got the seniority. That's where she's worked. And look, we got to, take our, accomplishments and our experience where we can get it. And she cares about this, and I think a lot of it's nutrition, and she's been interested in that. So I think it could be important.
Bill Ballinger, our guest, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Bill, it seems that the only time a lot of people think of the Michigan lottery is when they see someone standing up with a big smile on their face and a 6-foot-wide check in their hands. And that means they have hit the jackpot. And now you've got a couple of guys, $269 million in lottery winnings today in Lansing. Self-employed guy from Farmington Hills and a retiree from the Upper Peninsula. I guess the question is, how important is the lottery right now? And in terms of what it was designed to do, is it doing that?
Well, there's the time-honored question of whether the lottery money that many people thought at the time it was approved by voters in 1972 was going to go to fund education.
Right.
And they thought that was the end of our school funding problems, that the lottery was going to take care of everything. Well, it doesn't even come close,
no.
To funding education, but it has been important. It
mm-hmm.
has been a contributor. And, yes, it is very important. It's a source of state revenue that the state would, be in very bad shape without, particularly in the last 10 years, given the economic climate in the state. But let's face it, it's not some kind of panacea for our fiscal problems.
Right.
And, actually, when you get something like this today, a lot of hoopla and publicity about huge winnings of a couple of guys, that is good publicity for the lottery. It makes people want to buy tickets, and at least, even though they should know that the odds are against their ever winning, I mean, it's a stacked deck. You're playing against the house, and the house always wins, ultimately. But nevertheless, you can at least assuage your guilt and conscience that you are contributing to the education of Michigan's children.
Someone told me one time that if two guys each won $269 million, what that really meant was there are two more people who are going to vote Republican.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. We ought to do some kind of a study sometime on all these lottery winners, Powerball winners, state by state, and just find out exactly what happened to them after they won. I mean, you hear some terrible stories, and I'm not talking about voting habits.
Right.
But, I mean, everything. It would really be interesting to see how it's actually changed their lives and whether it actually has been for the good.
Maybe we'll do a special show on that. That would be fun.
We should.
Bill, thanks so much. I appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure, Jack.
Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics.